I think you're the first person to say that, actually. No, I mean, it's obviously there is a certain glamour working in entertainment. I can assure people that it's not quite as glamorous as it sounds. I don't actually get to watch all the TV programs myself, sadly, but there are lots of people here at Radio Times who do essentially watch TV for a living. It is fun, and it's nice to know what's coming up, and it's great to be part of the national conversation around television. And I think since social media has kind of has been part of our lives, that's more intense, and the biggest topics are often TV related. But yeah, it's a fun job. It's an interesting job.
Yeah, it's interesting that you've touched on that idea of social media so early on, because I was going to give you this phrase, everyone's a critic. Does that make your job easier or harder that these days everyone thinks they can have an opinion?
I'm not sure easier or harder. It certainly makes it different to the age before social media. I mean, obviously, I think there is a huge value in what the public are talking about and their opinions around TV, and we love bringing that into what we write about, and we're really interested in how people are reacting to TV shows. However, being a professional TV critic is probably a lot harder than most people would think. It involves being embedded in the industry, having a knowledge of how TV is made, TV history, and also having a real knowledge of the genres that you're working in. So I think there's room for both, and something that we really enjoy is blending those two things, bringing together the expert opinion with what people are saying about TV as it happens.
Yeah, and I think this idea of as it happens is very important as well, because how we watch TV's changed really, hasn't it? Not just in terms of the choice and the channels, but also sitting there on your phone whilst you're watching it and typing your thoughts into Facebook as you go along.
Yeah, I mean the idea of double screening, which is what you've just alluded to there, tweeting along with television shows, it's become a part of a lot of people's TV experience now, and in some ways has essentially saved event TV. I think at a time when recorded TV, PVRs, and on-demand are becoming more popular, there are still big events that people like to watch live because they want to be part of a conversation around it. Something like the Bake Off final last year, which had nearly 15 million people watching it. One of the things that makes that an important TV event is the fact that people want to tweet about it, they want to message about it on Facebook, they want to collectively enjoy the experience of finding out who's won. And obviously TV is changing in other ways, which is the on-demand revolution. People are spending more time watching TV on their own terms. The schedules aren't as important outside of those TV events, which is interesting. It puts us here at Radio Times in an interesting position, because actually more and more and more content, which means that our recommendations are kind of more valuable than ever, because there's more stuff to kind of sift through to find the good stuff.
Yeah, so you view that as positive then. You don't hark back for the times of three or four channels.
No, not at all, because it's a great time to be a TV fan. There's more stuff being made than ever. Yeah, it's not all brilliant, but there are some great shows being made on all the channels and by, the emerging networks. You've got Amazon and Netflix starting to make really interesting stuff. It's a great time for creatives because there's more money to have more ambitious projects. You're seeing more co-productions. You're seeing some great stuff coming out of America. So I don't hark back to a time when there are only a couple of channels. It's sad in a way that there aren't more really big events in TV. We're never going to see a time again where 30 million people tune in to see what's going to happen in the EastEnders Christmas special, as we did in the old days. But times move on. There are still events that people watch together. But I also think if you love TV, now's a great time to be alive.
Oh, that's a very positive point. I like that. Well, let's deal with one of the big TV stories of the last year then. You mentioned it briefly there. Bake Off is back on our screens, but this time moving from the BBC over to Channel 4.
We've seen the new Bake Off on Channel 4, and the good news for TV fans is it's still really good. There have been changes to the personnel, but really those are the only changes because, Channel 4 spent an incredible amount of money on Britain's favourite show. Last year, The Great British Bake Off was number 1 to 7 in the most watched shows on British television. So, it's clearly something that people like. And, as I mentioned before, the finale got 15 million viewers. The Great British Bake Off on Channel 4 obviously has different people. Mel and Sue decided not to follow the dough, as they said, and they've not gone with the show. No, there's Mary Berry. Paul Hollywood's still there. You've now got Noel Fielding and Sandy Toksvig as the presenters, with Prue Leith taking over the role that Mary Berry played. From what we've seen, Noel Fielding and Sandy Toksvig, although sound a slightly unlikely partnership, do work quite well as presenters. You've got the kind of same sort of zaniness that you have with Mel and Sue, the same, a little bit of ribbing, a bit of innuendo there, a bit of silliness. And Prue Leith really fits very well in with Paul Hollywood. So I think Bake Off fans can expect the very similar ingredients, if you'll excuse the pun. It won't get 15 million viewers on Channel 4, because there will be some people who won't watch it on Channel 4 because they're BBC traditionalists or they don't want the adverts. There are going to be adverts in the show. It's an hour and 15 rather than an hour, so the actual amount of bake-off is exactly the same. You just got 15 minutes of adverts interwoven, so you get exactly the same amount of show, just spread out over a little bit longer. But the signs are positive for the show. Fingers crossed people are as positive about it as me when they see it, but I think it's a format that people love, and I think people will stick with it.
Brilliant. Now tell us about some of the other highlights coming on to our screens this autumn.
You've got lots coming up. This is traditionally the time of year when TV really hots up after the kind of summer lull. We've had a late Game of Thrones this year, which is good. So you've got the finale of that on Monday. So we had something to get us through the summer. But you've got lots returning soon and some new shows. There's Strike starts next week, which is a adaptation of J.K. Rowling's Cormoran Strike detective novels, which she wrote under a pseudonym, Robert Galbraith. They've been adapted for the small screen. That looks to be something that will get quite a lot of attention. That's starting next week. And so we've got the return of Victoria, which, if you haven't seen the first series, is Daisy Goodwin's costume drama about the life of Victoria. So it's kind of ITV's Sunday night Downton Abbey replacement, essentially. Big period drama, stars Jenna Coleman, who used to be the companion in Doctor Who, as Victoria, and Tom Hughes as Prince Albert. So we're going to be rejoining them for a second series shortly after they had their first child. We're into the 1840s, I believe. And that looks set to be quite a long-running series. So we can see... I think we could be seeing that for many years to come. But it's a nice, fun, you know, relatively frothy Downton Abbey style period drama, but I think people will enjoy the return of that.
That's good that there's lots to come. Just before we finished, Tim, I wanted to finish by asking you about the legendary Bruce Forsyth, who passed away earlier this week. I know you wrote a piece online for the Radio Times website. Just in a couple of sentences, sum up his legacy for us.
Well, he is the embodiment of British entertainment on television. You know, he was on television for 75 years. He died at 89, but he kind of started as a child and sort of worked just continually until very, very short before his death. And, you know, he has, you know, for every generation, there's been a connection with Bruce Forsyth, and that's incredibly unusual because he's been on TV almost as long as TV's existed. So it's a real sad loss to the British television.
It is, yeah. Quite a legend, really.
Indeed.
And finally, Tim, I just wanted to finish. You've got a bit of a link back to Cambridge, haven't you?
Yeah, I have. Well, I used to live in Cambridge, but I did do a little bit of work back in the day on some Cambridge radio stations, a little bit of BBC Cambridge back in the day, and Star 107. I've got a little bit of a radio link, but also I lived there for couple of years, just off Mill Road.
Nice,
it's a beautiful city. Fantastic. City, and I've got lots of friends who live there or nearby. I'm not from that far away, and originally from Essex, so it's a place I have great affinity with.